the state of lending.
Finding a lender that will invest is really important.
Welcome to the Mortgage Impact Podcast, your home for industry-related marketing, branding, leadership, and technology news, best practices, and more. Whether you're a loan officer or a senior executive, this podcast will help you make an impact in the mortgage industry. Now, here's your host, Jake Failing.
Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Excited to have you in town, down from Pittsburgh. We've got you in town for a few days. There's a sales advisory board meeting. We've got a small group of folks that we lean heavily, too heavily on at times, just to keep helping us raise the bar here at Movement. But the reason we've got you in, I've been calling this like a meta podcast, because it's a podcast about the importance of podcasting. But we'll get into that. But first, can you please tell everyone a little bit about Kevin O'Loughlin and your journey as a loan officer?
Do I start with a suburban dad?
The suburban dad is actually going to be probably the majority of this, because it's one of my favorite pieces of content to follow online. Because, P.S., I'm that guy. And I'm like, is he living a better suburban dad life than I am? And I'm literally in it. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so growing up, right? So started in sports and played high school basketball, football, and got into college a little bit and played a little bit of sports as well. And I think that's where I got my competitive nature, so to speak. And everyone has their crazy, quirky story about how they got into the mortgage business. And I don't think anyone plans to jump into the space. But kind of what had happened with me was I was working in auto finance, and I started in a car dealership back home in Buffalo, New York. That's where my family's car dealership was. That wasn't the thing that I wanted to get into, kind of get out of the family shadow, so to speak.
Oh, well, I didn't realize. So family business,
right?
And you went away from
yep.
the family. Okay.
Yep. So it's been in our family for 4 to 5 generations, and it was just like, hey, your path is laid out. And I just wanted nothing to do with it. I was always sports, not cars, and it just kind of wasn't my thing. But my first job led to a job in auto finance. It was like my dad's friend at his bank.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Weird connections. And so I did that for about 3 years. And that's where I started to learn, you know, reading credit reports and doing the loan officer gig on the auto finance portion of everything. And they actually had moved me down to Pittsburgh after doing about 3 years in Buffalo. Like, hey, Kev, you know, there's a position down in Pittsburgh. We want you to go down and develop the market for us. We don't have a presence there. And I was like, I grew up in Buffalo, went to school at St. Bonaventure, and, you know, just never got away from home. So I was like, this is an ideal opportunity to get out and get away from home, get out of the shadow and the umbrella, you know, pull off the training wheels, so to speak. So I took a dive into Pittsburgh and was knocking on car dealerships' doors, begging them to send their loans through our bank at the time. Did that for a year, a lot of cold calling and stuff, which you never understand why something happens in your life, but it truly has molded me to where I am today. So long story short, ended up, started applying to jobs in warm states on LinkedIn. So I'm literally like, Buffalo is cold.
Right. Opposite direction.
Pittsburgh is still cold.
Very cold. Right.
Where can I go that's warm? So I'm applying to Florida, Texas, Cali, Carolinas. I mean, everywhere you can think of. And I ended up taking a job in Houston, Texas. Some mortgage shop. I was like, I don't know how to spell mortgage. Don't know much about mortgage, but
come on. Like, really, just like that, like literally throwing a dart.
Just literally left, and they said commission, earnings, you know, high income potential. And I was like, let's give it a shot, and just kind of dove in, man, and spent a year out in Houston. What I didn't realize, it was probably one of the worst but best years of my life. First 3 months in the mortgage business was 14 hours a day, including like Saturdays and Sundays. I lost about 35 pounds from stress.
So that's the best part? Is that the best? Yeah. Best and worst? Okay, got it.
Had great Mexican food though. So the company I was with just wasn't for me, and but it shaped my learning. So I was doing 500 credit score, USDA, FHA deals. The hardest deals to put together is what I learned. So by the time I figured out a conventional, I was like, wait, you're kidding me. This is easy compared to what I was used to.
Right.
So then from there, my branch at the time was kind of jumping around from company to company, the branch manager that I was working for. And at one point, Movement had actually come into our office, Chris Blevins at the time out in Houston, and did a little presentation for us. And I went to my manager out in Houston. I was like, man, if you give me this platform, if you give me this company, I will dominate. I will blow this business up. And my boss didn't choose Movement. And shortly thereafter, I ended up moving back to Pittsburgh. Houston was too hot. Here I am complaining about the cold. Houston was way too hot.
Well, and let's just pause there for a second. You said if you give me this company and this platform, so at that point, even in those other jobs, had you started to work on your brand at all? Or was that just sort of like a small fire that had just started burning? Or unpack that a little bit.
Yeah, so as far as the branding, I mean, I didn't know anything about branding at all, and really until I came on board with Movement. All the company I was started with in mortgage was all online lead based, so we weren't marketing to real estate agents. We weren't marketing to anyone. We weren't building a brand to anyone. I don't even think I had a loan officer on my Instagram. Mm-hmm. It was literally like you're a call center sales rep calling people all day.
Yep.
So the branding piece for me really didn't even start until joining with Movement. And I can remember sitting in my Houston office, like watching, you know, Casey Crawford, and when you click the Movement application, and Casey's like the 1 minute video before a consumer fills out an application, just seeing that Movement's branding is really what kind of pulled my eyes.
And isn't there a story around at some point in this where you reach out to Casey on LinkedIn or something like that? Am I making this up?
Yeah. Well,
because look, he manages his LinkedIn. Right. Okay. But we also see his LinkedIn.
Right.
He gets a million of those.
Right.
So I would love to hear that story, but also just the lesson in how do you bring in a value, or how do you stand out among the thousands of other messages out there on LinkedIn that people are getting,
right,
just like yourself, no matter what industry.
Right. And it was funny. So, you know, I was kind of, you know, I knew I was going to get back into Pittsburgh within the next 2 to 3 months. I heard about Movement, was really attracted to the company. And I think I had a rough day at work, missed a loan closing, and just typical stuff, you know, that happened all the time. And something prompted me to just reach out to the CEO. Why I didn't reach out to Chris Blevins, why I was like, I don't know, let's just go for the head guy.
It's your style, okay?
So I literally just sent this long message to Casey on LinkedIn one day, and he literally responded right away. And I was just saying like, hey, you know, me and two guys are moving back to Pittsburgh. I noticed you don't have a location there. Who would I talk to about an opportunity with Movement? I'm very interested in your company. Oddest thing was he responded right away. And I was like, because when I sent it, I was like, what are the chances this guy running a top 10 lender is going to respond right away? And sure enough, he responded right away. He said, love it. Love the energy. You know, we'll definitely talk to you. I was like, great. Sounds good. And then 2 months went by and I just didn't hear anything. I was like, well, I didn't expect to hear anything, you know? And then it got to the time where I was actually back in Pittsburgh, still working remotely for my branch out of Houston. And I was literally like, I just was like the creeper ex-girlfriend on Facebook message, you know, like,
hey, remember me?
Remember me from middle school? We locked eyes, you know. I just was like blowing his, you know, DMs up. And I finally was like, look, I know you probably get these messages all the time, but I'm serious. Here's the production that we were doing. You know, give us a chance to open up Pittsburgh. You don't have anyone. Finally, he responded again. The next day is when I talked to Darren and brought the team down, and that's kind of how it happened.
Yeah, Darren Pennington. Okay, and so that was, you said 3 years ago, was it?
Yeah, over 3 years ago now.
So what has that looked like in Pittsburgh? And we'll just, if people follow you on social media, you had a post recently where you just were, I'm just going to acknowledge what the last 3 years has been like, so I'll let people go find that Easter egg. But it sounds like, based on that and just obviously knowing you a little bit, that it has been quite the journey. So you got young guy, who is this guy? Who is this company, you know, going from basically ground zero, from scratch in Pittsburgh? You know, maybe talk about some of the highlights, some of the lowlights, some of the hurdles that you've crossed.
Well, and it's funny. So I think when we first were interviewing with Movement, we were like sitting down, we're like, hey, you know, me and this other guy, well, it was me, Ryan, and Greg at the time, we're closing $2 to $3 million a month from our other company. What Movement didn't know, what we didn't clarify, was that that was all internet leads that we would no longer get once we signed on with Movement. So when we came down for our interview, we're showing them the production. And then once they were like, all right, let's team up, let's give this a go, we're like, oh, we have to figure out how to get business, because our main source of business is gone. And we know no one in Pittsburgh.
Got it.
Yep. So we were kind of just put, our backs were against the wall. The only way for us was to go up. And we just sat down, me, Ryan, and Greg, and we're trying to figure out, okay, how are we going to make this happen? And we had a unique selling proposition. The Pittsburgh market was pretty antiquated, dominated by, you know, 50-plus-year-old loan officers and companies, and we kind of leveraged social media. No one had ever heard of an upfront underwrite. No one had heard of a loan closing in under 10 days. So, but before we even got the chance to get business, I mean, the struggles that we went through, I mean, we were sending out, I have to verify this with Ryan, but I think we, because we all sat down with a business plan, we're like, we're all going to send out 100 LinkedIn messages a day to real estate agents. Mm. We're all going to add 50 real estate agents a day on Facebook.
So super disciplined.
Yeah, we just laid out targets on how are we going to increase our visibility. So on top of doing a lot of it through social, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, then we started just going into the offices. We would go into the open houses, which a lot of loan offices, it's really uncomfortable to do that sometimes, to just roll up into an open house. Hey, I'm Kevin with Movement Mortgage. And they're like, I have an in-house lender, bye. Or who's Movement Mortgage? You're like 12, right. Bye.
And this is where the auto loans experience came in handy.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, okay. I was that shaped me, like we said, like I said earlier, it really shaped me and prepared me for the opportunity. So it was a lot of rejection, a lot of doors slammed in our faces. I think we're still probably banned from some real estate offices with in-house lenders because we would just show up unannounced. A lot of agents didn't like the fact that we came into their open houses because there's never anyone with this energy and young, and they're like, who are these young movement guys? So that's kind of, it was tough, but we kind of persevered and just kept going through the trenches.
And so can you brag on yourself maybe a little bit, like what you've seen growth-wise over the last 3 years? I know you said this year you're on track for a record year.
Yeah, so it's been amazing. Just the number one, the people that we've come across and the teammates I've have built this with is amazing. But from a team perspective, I mean, 2-3 months into this thing, you know, we were pumped to see a $3 million month. You know, and 3 years later, this month, we're projecting $21 million on, you know, 118 families that we can potentially close, which I just got the market report that was through June for Allegheny County, the greater Pittsburgh area. We'd be a top 15 purchase lender by end of year. We should be a top 10 purchase lender in all of Pittsburgh. So, you know, we didn't have any experience. We didn't know anyone. There was no handouts for us. We don't have any in-house agreements with real estate offices. So once the agents heard our story and saw how passionate we were and how, you know, truly genuine our intentions were to just help people grow and be there 24/7 to help their clients, they became attracted because I've had so many agents that say, I love working with Movement because the energy they have. Right. Like, I talk to them, they're not like saying this is a problem. They're like, we're going to figure this out. So like, it just multiplied. And I think the biggest thing that we did that helped us is every time we had a small success story, a 10-day close, an upfront underwrite commitment letter that won us a multiple offer situation, we would share it all over social.
Right.
To the point, literally, I've slowed it down because agents were saying, Kevin's too busy. He's posting 5 closings a day. So like,
oh, interesting.
I don't post my closings much anymore because I was actually getting some negative.
Wow. No, that's really interesting. I wonder how many other people have dealt with that feedback as well. So I'm glad you mentioned that. This is where we'll sort of transition from life story to now how you're leveraging social media and marketing to help drive the business. That energy comes through in a big way on social media, whether it's you, whether it's your team. You know, I follow all of you guys. How have you, and this is where you can introduce us to Suburban Dad. what's been your approach to social media? Because, you know, you hear Casey say that the F in Facebook means free.
Right.
And I want to strangle him sometimes because I'm like, that's absolutely not the case anymore. Right. It still literally is free, but, you know, you got to spend a little money every now and then. It was when he launched the company. But Facebook's not the only playground.
Right.
You know, there's lots of other places. I know that you are big into Instagram stories. Right. I know you're big into video, and then we'll get into audio here in a second. But where would you say you hang out the most? Maybe where have you seen the most success, and where are you most interested in taking it going forward? So 3-prong there.
Yeah. So, I mean, it all started for us on Facebook because it was just so easy to capture our target market being real estate agents. You'd simply add them and then boom, just like that, you have your target market. So then from there, really what you have to decide on is how are you going to add value to them? How are you going to attract them? Because every loan officer at this point is adding agents and shooting them messages to grab coffee. So how are you going to make your brand look more attractable? So I think the big thing that a lot of people miss is how do you build that brand and attract the people in? And it's all based on the content and the value add you put out. So if you constantly have to be coming up with unique ways to actually add value to people, which is, it's hard to come up with that content. It's very difficult. So Facebook was our number one thing. Instagram has kind of been newer, but I like it because I feel like on Instagram I get more personal and try to be, I guess, a little bit less professional.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, our target market, they want to know, like, and trust the people that they're working with and referring, and most importantly, be friends with them.
Yep.
So I think the biggest misconception that a lot of loan officers have is they go into a coffee, a breakfast, a lunch, a dinner to meet an agent for the first time, and they're coming, I got FHA 203Ks, I got 203Bs. Yeah, we do the conventional, we do the jumbos. And it's like, well, like. And
you're like, I mow my lawn every Sunday. Yeah. I have a jacuzzi that I clean diligently. Right.
So I've on Instagram, the whole suburban, single suburban dad with no kids, let me clarify.
Just so the listeners are clear. Got it. Okay. Not really a dad. Yeah. Okay.
So funny story is I was hashtagging suburban dad life, just like joking about mowing my lawn, putting out weeds. Cause like I live in a neighborhood with a lot of families and I'm like the single bachelor, 28 years old. And I just make fun of myself. And it just became like a talking point so much so that, and there was a rumor going around that I was like, some agent thought I was 38 years old, I was married, and had three kids. So
that is the ultimate compliment of like you're crushing social media, where you fully sell this like alter ego.
Yes,
that's amazing.
So that's when we switched the hashtag from suburban dad to single suburban dad with no kids, so there could be no confusion.
long tail hashtag search. Okay, got it.
But I mean, the whole point is you know, most of my competitors or colleagues in the market,
right.
They're not bringing a personality. They're not getting to know their target market. And we like to have fun with the people we're doing business with. And that's kind of the outlet for it, is poke fun at yourself. You know, it's show them who you truly are behind mortgages. Mm-hmm. What does Kevin do? What does this loan officer do? Who are they?
Where are you seeing the engagement, or how does like the pie get sliced up between the two? Cause I know that, you know, there's LinkedIn as well, and everybody's really hot on LinkedIn. You know, it's the best place to post organic content. The reach there is strong. But are you seeing, you know, consumers, borrowers more in one place than another? Are you seeing, you know, more agents at one place? Just curious.
I would probably say most agents are concentrated on Facebook. I feel like, you know, some 40, 50 plus agents, they just, Instagram came too late for some of them. They don't grasp onto it. So it's more so the younger agents is what I see that are really taking advantage of Instagram. As far as LinkedIn goes, I haven't had much success with engaging with agents on LinkedIn, but it's a great spear tool. So like I have, you know, I still post all my videos on there and get a lot of good engagement and people that come to me for business because of what they see. So
right.
I blast it everywhere. Right. And then I think the other big thing too is, you know, make sure you engage with your closed clients. I try to look up a lot of my clients that I close and make sure that we're engaged with them on Facebook and Instagram. A couple of them, you know, they go to the same restaurants, they go to the same bars, they live close by, they're in the same neighborhood, you see them at the grocery store. So it's like, just recently with the decrease in rates, I mean, I followed this one client of mine on Instagram and always engage with their stories and their posts and like root them on as they build their family. And the next thing you know, I see them out at a brewery on a date night. And then next thing you know, I was like, oh yeah, we actually sent you an email about a potential refinance. Now would be a great time. I'll get you guys over a quote tomorrow. You have so much credibility built because they're following your life as well. And it's almost, you're just that trusted advisor and friend.
Yep.
And then next, you know, we lock in their refi the next day. So I think that's a big misconception that's missed by a lot of loan officers as well. Use these free tools. It's a CRM at the end of the day, you know?
So perfect segue, because that's my question is, you know, you hear things like everybody who likes a post, everybody who engaged, that's a lead. So as it relates to your database management, you know, that could, adding up DMs.
Right.
And making sure that you're transferring everything over and you're remembering everything. How do you manage that? How's your team manage engagement on social media as it relates to your database?
I think the biggest thing is, you know, we you want to engage with all the comments and make sure you're connected with all those people, because at the end of the day, you're going to have higher success on if you can gain a follower, a close client. And so, yeah, they automatically go into our CRM being Total Expert. They'll get hit with our monthly drip campaigns and stuff, which the engagement on that is pretty minimal. It's still good to be top of mind.
Sure.
But the engagement you're going to get if they're a follower on your Instagram, you're in the car yep. doing whatever, and they're going to mess. Like, it's just a more trust is built. And so our biggest strategy is we want to make sure that our closed clients are following us. And
yep.
we're working on actually building a Facebook community for our closed clients where we can have discount vendors come in and, like, if they need a contract, and just create a community.
Like a group?
A group for all of our closed Smart. Clients to talk to each other. So, like, and then it's easy for us when, you know, rates drop or there's a change in the environment that can affect their mortgage. It's an easy way for us to blast communicate them as well. So yep. how do we, once again, how do we add value,
sure.
right? Being the number one focus, create a group. Because if you create a group and you're just trying to hit them with discount vendors, they're going to exit. So what can you do to keep them engaged? Do past client giveaways or something to keep them engaged and, you know, stay top of mind.
Sure. So you talked a little bit about LinkedIn and about how that's a place where you can push some content that would make you thought leader-ish, influencer-ish, which takes us to the part where I really wanted to jump in, and we're sitting here in front of two microphones.
Right.
You have interest in starting a podcast yourself.
Right.
And, you know, there's the angle that you can take, which is around, or sorry, that we have taken around sort of mortgage education, no matter if you're an executive in the space or a loan officer, hopefully there's something you could take away. But then there's also the logic of, like, hey, just make really cool, engaging content that make people will listen, not necessarily slam them over the head with, hey, I'm a loan officer, I'm in financial services. Get them to like you, right. get them to keep coming back. And so, much like you were talking about with LinkedIn, is that how you see podcasts? How do you view that opportunity?
So, I mean, I don't know what the one saying is, but your network is your net worth, right? So, it's how do you build upon your network, connect with like-minded people? And I think where I'm looking to go with my podcast is an entrepreneur type of podcast where we're interviewing very successful people in whatever field. Does not have to be related to real estate or mortgage. Obviously, we will have several connections there to start with that. But I think it's people sharing their stories and their struggle. And I mean, just the thought that if one person listens to that, it could change the trajectory of their life is so powerful. Mm. And just being down with like John Maxwell, getting a chance to hang with him and Casey a little bit, I mean, they truly like impacted my life and those highly successful people. So that's what I want to document is how do we create a following and get ultra successful. It doesn't even have to be ultra successful, but
I mean, when you say John Maxwell, there's really only so many people that you can go on. Cause this is a huge step down being on the Jake Failing Mortgage Impact podcast. Like you've taken a giant step back. I'm just telling you, Kevin, I'm sorry to tell you.
Jake,
okay. On. Sorry.
So, and it doesn't even have to be on that scale, but people that have good stories, I guess is really what I'm going to target. Someone, for example, David Allen is a custom clother back in Pittsburgh, and his story is amazing. He came out to dinner with my team a couple weekends ago, and just to hear his story, that truly impacted people at that table. So how can we pour into others? And I think, once again, add value. Sure. Add value. And that's a big Gary Vee thing as well. Yep. Add value. So if we constantly focus on that, a podcast is just another space for that to hit large audiences. And it's kind of the thing right now, but I don't see too many areas where it's focused on, hey, here's this guy's story, here's his struggle, what can we all take from it? And just kind of, you know, replicate that with different stories to try to add.
Yeah, because to your point, there are the podcasts that, you know, everybody sees in the top 10, 20 on iTunes that are just, wow, it's like all John Maxwell's. Right. And it's all these like, wow, cool, but like realistically, I'm not going to be that guy.
Right.
Like if you look at the odds. But I think if you put really relatable stories on a podcast, like you said, your tailor or the custom clothes gentleman there or anybody else, and be like, oh, I know that guy. He's just down the street, especially if it's local to Pittsburgh. And I know those are the types of things that you're weighing before you start. So I'm just curious. I'll challenge you a little bit because we've talked about, is there anything that's sort of keeping you from starting? Because I think there's a lot of people out there that say, I want to start a podcast. Right. I'm looking at myself when I say this. Next thing you know, a year's gone by, and you've got the sickest cover art. You've got the most amazing URL. Oh, man, you should see my URL. It's super clever. And you've actually recorded zero audio.
Right.
So, like, what's going on right now? We're recording this in mid-September. Any trials you're facing, hurdles, anything like that?
So, what I'm in the process of right now is just getting the equipment.
Yep.
So, we're going to set up a podcast room in my office.
And oh, cool.
just kind of get it rolling from there. And I already have targets. And I think it's probably going to be a better idea to probably start locally in Pittsburgh, just because, I mean, that's where 90% of my business comes from. That's my neighborhood. I think it'd be probably best to start with, you know, local business professionals, because like you said, there'll be more viewers right in my target market of Pittsburgh to tell those stories that you can relate to. Maybe we have a successful contractor we can bring in. Now you have all these contractors listening, vice versa, you know what I mean, and just document it. But I've probably talked to 20 people in the last 6 months that say they're going to start a podcast. And once again, I've been one of those people. So now it's like, get the equipment and start lining up the appointments.
It's truly one of those, I always point to, it's Lewis Howes. He's got a podcast called School of Greatness that I love, and I recommend it to anybody. It's just amazing what hits you. Like, just, I had heard him say probably 30 episodes in a row, just start it, just press record, just do that. And like, and one day it just hit, it just caught me right. I'm like, what am I doing?
Right.
And the first episode, it was a sports business podcast. It was garbage. It was horrible. The audio was horrible. I was trying to do like a Skype with another executive. It was a mess, but who cares?
Right.
And you might have one or two people listen to it. But then they got progressively better, and then, you know, hopefully we're not falling on our face right now. I think we've done a fairly good job with this one. I'm sure it's going to be the case with you. So are we going to get, I know you said entrepreneurship and sort of, you know, some thought leaders in the area. Are we going to get Free Tip Fridays on there as well?
So I think,
because we've been talking about Free Tip Friday,
right? We might have to. Free Tip Friday's been obviously a it's been a great move, you know, and just constantly engaging with that weekly thing. And I have an awesome video team back in Pittsburgh, Solventless Streams, and these guys, I mean, I couldn't be more blessed to have them. I mean, they come into my office on Thursday and they're like, Kev, we don't have a Free Tip Friday for tomorrow, so are you ready to film in like 10 minutes? I'm like, okay, got to come up with something.
It's like the LeBron now. He does the Taco Tuesdays where everybody's like, Taco Tuesday. You guys are like, Free Tip Friday. So, but I think that's a perfect example. So they just come in the day before and you rip it, right?
One take only.
Oh, so, man.
We just go after it. And I think, you know, and that's another thing. We're just, it was mainly purpose for educating home buyers at first. And I wanted to create content that my agents could use out in the field. My home buyers can, you know, learn from. But it's also shifted to my own thing where I pick something up at the Maxwell event and I want to share it with everyone because it truly affected me. And the biggest thing just being at the Maxwell event recently is a certification program to go down so you can teach its curriculum and stuff. And one of the things that John Maxwell always says is he goes like, he puts his arm up like this and he says, anything worthwhile is an uphill climb. And that stuck with me, and I'm like ready to get it tatted on me. You know what I mean? Watch out, Canale. but it's just like a simple quote like that truly changed my perspective.
Yeah.
And it's like, I want to be able to influence other people through this podcast and through the content that I put out, because if you add value, everything else will take care of itself.
Can I, like, we could spend three more podcasts on the Maxwell stuff, just to take quick sidebar. How do you take everything you learned from that experience, which I know, like you said, impacted you greatly, back to your team? Like, forget social media, but like as a leader, as a market leader, and you've got these guys, this young team that they're hungry. Like, how do you translate that to them? Because part of it is the experience of being there live. But you're sitting now on this great information that I know you need to impart as well.
Right. And I took a couple of the nuggets right away and employed it. You know, I've called, I think, every single person on my team almost and just talked about what I have learned. And the number one thing that I focus on is mortgages are hard. Real estate's hard. Everything, once again, anything worth having is an uphill climb. It's going to be tough. So I think just realizing that, and then my Free Tip Friday coming out this week talks about how if you should walk into every day expecting at least five challenges. If you're not walking in every day expecting five challenges, you've already set yourself up for failure, because you're walking into the mindset, I'm going to have this great day, which a lot of people do. They get punched in the side of the face, which for me probably would be a very small problem, but they haven't set their mindset up to be ready to attack it. So it throws their entire day off. It ruins their mood. It affects their next sales call. It hurts, you know, that they're at home, their personal life. So it's like, I really try to focus with my team more than anything is mental strength. Like, we do book clubs, and we actually had a call today that I missed that Kyle Clark led for us. And we just focus on mental strength and being in the right frame of mind to handle the challenges, because it you can apply to anything. I'd rather not focus so much on exact loan specific things, because if you can't get past the mental barriers, you're not going to be able to handle, you know, a lot of loans. So that's what I focus on most importantly.
book clubs. I mean, you were really living into hashtag single suburban dad. No, I love it. I love it. And I'm just kudos to you. Now, granted, I should be following all the loan officers. I recently posted on LinkedIn just about how there's a group of you out there that, you know, help us raise the bar internally. And you are certainly among those. The fact that we can mention Free Tip Friday and the single suburban dad with no kids on Instagram, you know, two very different sort of campaigns.
Sure.
On two very different platforms, and the fact that I know them so well, I know internally our team knows it, right. People out in the field are watching it, and I'm sure people in Pittsburgh are watching it, is just a testament to you, just the brand that you've built. So in closing, whether it's something you learned from Maxwell, or if you want to promote anything that's coming from your team over the next, you know, quarter or so, what can we look for from your team there in the Pittsburgh market?
I think the biggest thing is, you know, we're just scratching the surface. I always say we're still in layup lines. You know what I mean? We're still in layup lines. We have a lot to accomplish. We have a great team. We're solid. Our foundation is built right. And we're just looking to most importantly, is provide value, pour into people. If you do that, and if anyone is listening to this, you know, if you take away one thing, pour into people, provide value, and everything else will take care of itself and have the right mindset. So, like, that's all we're going to do, and just business as usual. So.
Kevin, you're the best. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, brother.
Great to see you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Mortgage Impact Podcast. You can find old episodes, show notes, and much more at mortgageimpactpodcast.com and wherever you get your podcasts. Please like, comment, and share, and we look forward to having you back on a future episode.